I would like to read a fairly short comment by Sanatana Goswami describing the glories of the Braja Gopis. But in there, in his glorification of the Braja Gopis, there is something very clear and unavoidably that he'll say. He'll say that it in such a way that it's unavoidable for us to notice it, that there is something that we can do or try our best to do to come to the highest platform ourselves, recognizing in such a wonderful way that those who are already on the highest platform are performing the same activity that is a sadhana for those who are trying to become elevated. So this is something exceptional, exceptionally wonderful in Krishna consciousness, swara sikhi bhakti, or that's the sadhana and the sadhya, the practice and the goal, are the same, and the difference is only one of consciousness. But the practice is the same. Anyway, you'll hear exactly what it is in a moment. This is the verse that we will read today, glorifying the Braja Gopikas, the ladies of Braja. The ladies of Braja are the most fortunate of women. Their minds are fully attached to Krishna. Their throats always choked with tears, and they constantly sing about him while milking the cows, while winnowing grain, while churning butter, while gathering cow dung for fuel, while riding on swings, caring for their crying babies, sprinkling the ground with water, cleaning the houses, and so on. Their minds are fixed on Krishna alone. And here is the purport, the commentary, the instructions, the revelation of his own heart that Sanatana Goswami gives to this verse. Even in the course of Krishna's infinitely varied pastimes, the gopis are sometimes unable to see that most clever Krishna. I read the sentence wrong. Even if in Krishna's wonderful pastimes the gopis are unable to see him, they can remain submerged in an ocean of transcendental pleasure by chanting his glories. The gopis do not engage in sankirtan only when circumstances are favorable, when performing special services for him, like making garlands. No, they chant his names and glories always, in all situations. While describing the autumn rasa dance, Sarat Punim, Parasa Muni says in the Vishnu Purana, and there is a quotation, Krishna sang about the autumn moon during the rasa dance. What was Krishna singing about? The glories of the autumn moon and its light upon the lotus ponds. Well, the gopis sang Krishna's name over and over again. While Krishna sang a rasa dance song in a resonant voice, the gopis congratulated him and redoubled their chanting of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. In this verse, Parikshit Maharaj recites here the phrase Vraja Striya, the women of Braja, indicates not just the gopis, but also the women who live in the forest. The city ladies who are speaking are not careful to distinguish between the gopis of Nanda's community and the other women of Braja, who are mostly aborigines. all the women who come in contact with Krishna in the forest, whether children, young girls, or old women, they become rich in the highest favor of the goddess of fortune. And only the women of Braja have this kind of excellent luck, not the women of other places. And why are the women of Braja so fortunate? Or what is the symptom of their fortune? And what is their fortune? Because they always engage in Krishna Sankirtan, no matter what else they do. That is their fortune. That is their wealth. They sing while they milk the cows. They sing when they churn butter for their husbands and children. And they sing, they chant Krishna's names while they apply kumkum, chandan, and other cosmetics to their bodies. And while they swing on swings, while they comfort their babies, while they clean their houses with water and cow dung, they sing Krishna's names while cooking, while grinding grains, while smearing their courtyard with auspicious pastes, while beautifying the walls of their houses with painted designs. Thus, the gopis, their unavoidable duties in taking care of their families and maintaining their own bodies, do not obstruct the ecstasy they feel in worshiping Krishna. Rather, these activities contribute to their ecstasy by giving them suitable opportunities for chanting Krishna's names for Sankirtan. The gopis are so absorbed in Krishna's glories due to their incredibly intense loving sentiments. They are so absorbed in Krishna's glories that they're hardly aware of the effect of the effort they expend while working. And so intense is their singing, and please listen to this, so intense is their singing, they actually see Krishna. So intense is their singing, and the intensity is not volume, it is love. They actually see Krishna. Either by the power of meditation, they see him in their hearts as he plays all around Brajabhumi, or else they make excuses to take their work out into the pastures, so they directly see him playing there, somehow or another. Sometimes the presence of their elders makes them too shy to sing about Krishna, and then they fly to where Krishna is by the inner vehicle of their minds. Chitta. Helplessly attracted by the power of Lord Arukram, who intrudes by stealth into the minds of his best devotees. As the gopis chant about Krishna, their minds are more and more attracted to him, and gradually they are unable to think coherently about anything else. Shedding tears of love, they sob uncontrollably, and their hearts go swiftly to join Krishna, wherever he is. In short, they are the most fortunate of women, because they always see Krishna, they always chant his glories, they always think about him, and always feel completely attracted to him in pure love. That is the comment of Sanatana Goswami about the glories and why the gopis are glorious. Om Ganatamirandasya Janandana Salakaya Chatsu Sumilatan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Vadati Sapanantika. I'll read the last thing that I read yesterday. How Krishna deals with his devotees. Too high. How Krishna deals with his devotees who are so sincere that they desire to take shelter of him, or they have fully taken shelter of him. So we'll be speaking about this mostly by reading different comments of Sanatana Goswami, but this is what we read yesterday. See if you remember, having heard it before. A man suffers when he loses his wealth, and due to poverty he suffers even more due to being rejected by his relatives. Devotees of the Supreme Lord experience both happiness and distress, not as the fruit of their karma, their material work, but as incidental effects of their loving relationship with the Lord. There is no cruelty or desire by Krishna, our Lord, to make us suffer and experience either material distress or material happiness in that way. That is all working just by the laws of material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai kamani sarvasha. But that karma that we do experience, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it gradually diminishes, just like a thousand petal lotus lose its petals one by one. Although the happiness and distress devotees experience resembles ordinary karmic reactions, they are in fact given by the Lord Himself. As the Bhagavatam states, Bhavad Uta Subha Subhayo, a mature devotee recognizes the superficially good and bad conditions he encounters as signs of the direct guidance of his ever-well-wishing Lord. So within this statement is a conclusion, naturally, of course, that a devotee reaches, that he is in the hands of Krishna. And why is it natural that a devotee reaches this conclusion? Because unless he actually trusted this, he wouldn't be a devotee. This is what it means. The foundational principle of what it means is to be a devotee. It's gotripte varanam tata. I place myself in the hands of Krishna and I trust that he is going to care for me and that my Lord is affectionate. And this is the primary struggle of a struggling devotee, or someone aspiring and struggling to become a devotee. Do I really, the first question will be the atheist question, is he really there? Is there really a God there? Does he really exist or not? And from what I've read of Western theology, because of the suffering in this world, the Western theologists really don't get much past this question. Does he really exist? How could all this evil and suffering in this world, how could it be present before an all-powerful God who is all good? And they go over this question again and again and again. I see in other cultures that question isn't so prominent. I saw, for example, there was several years ago, there was a horrific tsunami that rolled through part of Asia. And it wiped out the lives of perhaps 150 to 250,000 people within 10, 15, 20 minutes. And people who were theists became atheists. Really, most people who are theists and most people who are atheists, they're really somewhere in the border in between, on both sides. And when there's a catastrophe, you can't stay in the middle any longer. You get knocked to one side or the other side. You become much, much better than you were or much, much worse than you were. And that's the purpose of testing. To knock us off the middle. To knock us off this middle, I sort of believe and sort of don't believe at the same time. I sort of believe, but not quite enough to put myself in the hands of Krishna. But not enough, so to make sure, just in case either one is true, you'll be okay. But the testing of the Lord pushes us from this platform. Because there's this wonderful prayer in Bhakti, Prem Bhakti Chandrika by Narottama Das Thakur, quite near the end. He's pointing to the point that we have to come to, the point of surrender, the point of in every situation, easy or difficult. We just heard about the gopis, how in every situation, due to their love, they only and always thought about Krishna, they glorified him, not out of some either superficial sentiment or some scriptural, or you're supposed to do this. Well, we're gopis, so this is what gopis do, so we have to do it. Not like that at all, but it was impelled from the depths of their heart by their true and complete full love for Krishna. So on the way to that platform, prema pumarto mahan, which is the goal, the prema is the goal of all the sadhana, kriti sadhya bhavetsa sadhanadabhi nitya siddhasya bhavasa prakattam riddhi saddhita. The goal of the sadhana is the sadhya. The goal of the practice is to develop bhav, love for Krishna. Prema, pumarto mahan. This is the great goal, prema. So on the road to that goal, which the gopis had perfected to the highest degree, or they were already perfect, there are different stages, and those stages all have their tests to them. So I just mentioned the first test, and what we want to come to, and I mentioned it yesterday, is enough introspection to that when we're in difficulty, or in a simpler way, when things don't go exactly the way we want to, which is more or less, which happens tens and tens of times every day, where do we go for shelter? Because we want to look at ourselves beyond the superficial, that I'm all right and everything I do is okay, which is the way that the false ego tends to construct reality, or rather illusion. We want to come to the platform, or rather, if we do want to come to the platform, that I want to actually fully take shelter of Krishna, that we get a introspective self-assessment of how well we're doing on doing that. And then we should think, well, if I'm not sure I want that, well, what do I want? Where will be my shelter? Where, if Krishna, God, isn't my shelter, will I remain shelterless? This is the choice. This is the freedom of choice. Or will I place my hope, my faith, my love, my shelter, my feeling of being sheltered in Durasraya, things that are not truly capable of giving me shelter, and remain peacefully, happily in illusion that life's purpose is in subtle and gross ways. My security will be my bank balance and my family relationships, etc. We don't underestimate the power of these things because this is what people do. When there's difficulty, the first thing people do is check how much money they have. And I mean people, we're also in that category, you know. This is what people do. And the most confidential secrets that a man will have is not about it. Perhaps the second most confidential secret a man will have is his intimate relationship with his wife. But the most confidential secret would be how much money he has hidden away in the different accounts. That he doesn't tell anyone. Too dangerous. So where is our shelter? We want to look in this mirror of our consciousness and see where it really is. And that way we see if we want to take shelter of Krishna, how much work we have to do and what kind of work it is. So this type of a prayer by Narottama Das Thakur is the kind of goal on a preliminary level that we can keep in front of us as we go through every day. When arrested by the highwaymen of material illusion and bound by the neck with ropes of lust and about to call his last breath, to take his last breath, the moment of death, the devotee of Lord Hari, despite his illusions and impurities, he calls out to the Lord for help. Krishna, Krishna, at the moment of death, or at the moment of difficulty, at any moment of difficulty, of every moment of difficulty, especially the ultimate test of death, he calls out for the Lord's help, and he is saved. Narottama Das says, O devotees, call out in this way. I mean, yeah, but you know the difference between really calling out in hopelessness, looking for shelter, and or calling out on demand, like I've just done over here. Now it's time for everyone to call out to Krishna helplessly.
Krishna!
Oh, yeah. All devotees call out in this way, in this mood. In this mood, Narottama Das says, glorifying the nectar topics of pure love for Krishna. Then, if we can do this, the calamity of repeated birth and death will come to an end. A mature devotee recognizes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues, the superficially good and bad conditions he encounters as signs of the direct guidance of his well-wishing Lord. He's reading his test results. When things are bad, do I call out to Krishna or what do I do? Do I open up the refrigerator? I mean, that's a really typical one. Or go shopping. That's what they do in the West. You go shopping. When all else fails, go shopping. Or television. As one devotee told me, television is the drug of my choice. People do these things. Or do we take shelter of Krishna's holy names? I'm hopeless. My mind is wavering. Oh, Krishna, I don't want to go this way. I don't want to go this way. I don't want to. Krishna, and my tendency is to go this way, to fear and terror and lust and anger and greed. Oh, Krishna, if you don't help me, what hope do I have? In desperation, he calls out, like it's the moment of death. So he sees the good and bad he experiences in his life connected to his karma, but really coming from Krishna to show him, to give him indications, Vishwanath said, direct guidance of his well of from Krishna. But then Vishwanath asks a question. But if the Lord is so compassionate to his devotees, why does he expose them to special suffering? Why doesn't he just take away everything? This is answered by an analogy. A very affectionate father takes the responsibility of restricting his children's play and making them go to school. He knows that this is a genuine expression of his love for them, even if the children cannot appreciate it. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is mercifully strict with all his dependents. All his dependents, not only his immature devotees struggling to become qualified. He's strict with all the devotees, all those who want to come to him. There is a little story that I once, a little mundane story that I once read about an East German who was employed by the United States government to coach the gymnastic team to prepare the young gymnasts for the Olympics. And he was very strict. He was heavy, he was strict. He would never say an encouraging word to him, okay, very good, but this mistake is there and improve this. He was just, this is wrong, and 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 this is wrong. And all because the gymnasts, they're all young. They're young, especially the girl gymnasts. They're all like 12, 13 years old, 10 years old. And this type of treatment was too difficult for them. This is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and that is wrong. It gets very heavy. So the parents of the girls had to deal with this. They're crying, young, sincerely trying to be gymnast daughters. So one of them approached one teacher coach who said, why don't you talk to him and maybe you could give him a little advice on teaching, that you need to put in some encouragement now and then. So this teacher coach went to see this gymnast instructor. And he said, you know, the girls are all crying. They're getting discouraged. Why don't you just lighten up a little bit and tell them some good things that you do? And the gymnast instructor, this very, very heavy professional gymnast instructor, he said, you don't understand. I'm training these girls not to be good gymnasts, but to win a gold medal at the Olympics. When it comes to the Olympics, when they're competing with the best athletes of the world to win that gold medal, they cannot even make the smallest mistake. Not the smallest mistake. So therefore, I have to be so strong and heavy with them. And I've seen it, he said. If one of them takes this type of treatment and perfects their routines and actually wins a gold medal, they start crying and crying and crying. And then they want to share their happiness with someone. And do you think they run first to their parents? No, they run first to me. What we are trying for is the gold medal of gold medals of gold medals. This is Braja Bhakti. It is not a cheap thing. It is not an easy thing. It is the gold of gold of golds. Narottama Das Thakur says, this gold, your heart has to be purified like gold in 100 flames. Purified, melted, impurities removed, melted again, more impurities removed, melted again, more selfishness, more extraneous desires, more subtle. This is Braja Bhakti in the topmost Brother Bhaktins are the Brother Gopikas. It is not simple. It is simple to understand. They love Krishna only in their special mood. But when our acharyas say that, that's just what they mean. That they thought about nothing else all day long. And their intensity of their love for Krishna and their singing Krishna's names, their Nam Sankirtan, caused them to see Krishna. It was unavoidable. It was unavoidable because their heart was already there, fully there, regardless of where their bodies seemed to be. Their heart was there and Krishna followed. He must come before their eyes. So Krishna doesn't only give the immature devotees tests. We even heard a few days ago when we read when we were hearing the Vidagdha Madhava from Jagatini Mataji, that even Purnamasi tested Srimati Radharani. And therefore, Vishwanath quotes a verse, Nahi yasya kahichit rajan pumam veda vaditsitam yaj vigyasayo yukta muyanti kavyo pihi. Happy to see you all. Muyanti kavyopihi, that no one can understand the plan of the Lord, how it's going to work out. Everyone got tested. The Pandavas got tested so heavily that Bhishma Dev, as he recited this prayer, he, the senior elderly warrior of the Kuru dynasty, was moved to tears how the Pandavas were tested. How Dhruva Maharaj, how Prahlad was tested. How Chitraketu Maharaj was tested. So what gives the strength to the devotees to continue despite the hardships of the test? It is this type of trust. That I'm going for something very, very wonderful, most wonderful, the gold of golds. And I have faith, I have trust that my Lord is so kind. He's giving me this medicine, even though it's stinging medicine. But he's giving it for my benefit to remove the impurities, the attachments, the lust, the anger, the greed, the selfishness, the petty desires to place myself high. That he's kindly removing this. But how he's doing it, and what plans and strategies he has in the middle of the test, how is it going to work out? How is this going to be best for me? We can't know. No one can know. The sages cannot know. And this is what Bhishma Dev says, Muyanti, Kavyopi. Even the Munis cannot understand this. But it is our devotion and support from the other devotees, of course, that carries us. More from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Because the devotees are objects of the Lord's affection, their suffering is never extreme. How can one consider the suffering arising from karma and that due to the Lord, that suffering, to be equal? One is like the pain arising from receiving a beating from one's enemy, and the other is like that caused by one's mother, One is like poison and the other is like nectar. Sanatana Goswami, we heard him, how he exhibited the perfect consciousness of what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said in that prayer. Who is the one qualified to carry and reveal this most excellent of Parakya Rasa? What is that person's heart like? We're hearing what it's like in his revelations, in his Bhakti Rasayan, Briha Bhagavatamrita. But we're also seeing what his heart was like in his dealings with Mahaprabhu in Puri. And this is the kind of heart that we're going to have if we want Sanatana Goswami's mercy to flow to us to the full capacity that he has. Such humility. And when he was running, and this is was so telling for me, when he was running on the hot sand, he did not feel the pain of his feet blistering at all. It was Anandita Mani. His heart was full of the happiness that my Lord is calling me to take prasadam. And even though he tried to escape, Mahaprabhu caught him and would not let him escape. And he surrendered. So, these are very, very high platforms. But this is the platform that we have, the steps we have to gradually take to get where we want to go. It is unavoidable. And listen to this. I say it's unavoidable. Krishna tests all his devotees. Here's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. But is it that the Lord, who can do anything, questioning this concept, cannot accomplish his purposes without giving distress to his devotees? He's all powerful. He can do whatever he wants. Can't he do this? Why does he have to make me suffer? As if, again, that point we were speaking of yesterday, is it him who's making me suffer? Or is it my attachments, my unreasonable attachments to matter that make me suffer? But can't he accomplish his purposes of purification without giving suffering to his devotees? And the answer is yes. Stated, and I checked several translations of this. Yes. He, the reservoir of unlimited pastimes, cannot accomplish his purposes without this. Because his desire may be there, but what about our part? He sometimes gives suffering to his beloved devotees, and that suffering gives rise to great pleasure, just as a stinging ointment applied by a physician cures his patient's infected eye. One more on this topic. Because again, there's different levels of this testing. Now, we spoke first about one level of the testing, to move us from the comfortable middle, where we're sort of, yes, we're devotee, yes, I'm a devotee, but I have to take care of myself just in case Krishna doesn't take care of me, and things like that. I don't quite trust this, and I know that I'm this, but I trust ultimately, I trust myself. And again, distress, calamities. There's been studies of this phenomena by the social scientists of the world, that when there is distress, a great calamity in the world, either some pestilence or some catastrophe, people do not stay in the middle. They go to one side or the other. They become gooder or better. And that is the prime purpose of the test for us on the lower levels. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when describing Krishna's conversation with the gopis after he's rejoined them, after running from them in the Rasa dance, he describes different other reasons on different, when he's dealing with different levels of devotees, the testing has different purposes. So we've talked about the prime level to bring us to the side of holding on to Krishna, calling out to him, taking shelter of him, fully depending upon him. But here's the next level above that. Those who are already surrendered, those who already turned to him in all difficult circumstances, yet Krishna tests them also. Now, what is the purpose of his test for them? Vishwanath says, for those surrendered souls who already worship me through Nam Kirtan and other means, and he's talking about here in this particular case, testing them by not appearing before them when they called to him. That is one type of a test. Krishna, 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 and I want an immediate result. But Krishna doesn't immediately respond. He tests the depth of our faith, our surrender. So for those surrendered souls who worship me through Nam Sankirtan, already surrendered to me, and other means, I do not respond in order to make their worship more perfect. He points out to them their defects by not responding. They get a chance to look more closely in the mirror of their consciousness when he doesn't respond. Why? I do not respond in order to make their worship more perfect, because his purpose is to bring us to the highest pinnacle. The highest pinnacle of love as exemplified by the Braja Gopis. All gopis, he tells the mood, he reveals the mood of Krishna, the purpose of Krishna. No one can understand the purpose of the Lord, Bhishma Dev said, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is revealing that which no one can understand. Even the Munis can't understand the purpose of the Lord, but Vishwanath is revealing it. Please listen. O gopis who cannot understand my real intention, not seeing me, those surrendered souls develop deep humility. Their humility deepens. It takes so much humility, absence of pride, to depend fully on Krishna, and yet it has to deepen still further. We have to fully depend on Krishna, fully depend on his mercy. Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita equates humility and prema bhakti. They are the same. It has to deepen. Because, and Prabhupada has explained, the difference between humility and low self-esteem, because so often our minds become disturbed by something and we see our own faults. And what do? We just have low self-esteem and we just criticize ourselves all day long, and the mind goes round and around, round and round, thinking about who? Me, and how bad I am. That is not humility. That is neurotic, self-indulgent mental disease, in fact. That is not humility. Humility means soon as you touch the point, and this is what Prabhupada explained, humility is soon as you touch the point of your own weakness, you don't think about how bad you are, you take shelter of Krishna. That is humility. Oh, Krishna, I am yours. I have no hope other than you. Go tripte varanam tata. I am fully dependent on you. I am surrendered. I am yours. I belong to you. So those surrendered souls, not seeing me, develop deep humility, feeling, alas, alas, everything I have done has been useless. The tests bring out. In fact, I looked up test in my handy dictionary, and it gave two very pointed meanings. First, to test means to see the genuineness of an object, the genuineness, to see if this gold is actually gold. I'm a devotee. To see if I have devotion, is it genuine? What is my real concern? My real concern tends to be centered around only me. That is not love. That is not Braja Bhakti. I have to be put to the test to see how genuine it is for my welfare and benefit. And second meaning that I found interesting was to test for the presence or the non-presence of other substances. I'm a devotee. Is there anything there that is foreign to devotion, that doesn't belong there? Well, the tests, the difficulties bring that out. If we want the greatest thing, if we want the purest thing, we have to become pure. How pure? Purer than gold, purified in 100 flames again and again and again. So the devotee who has been tested in this way, when Krishna is calling for Krishna and Krishna is not there, he doesn't turn his back and turn on the television. He surrendered already. Alas, alas, everything I have done has been useless. Because I am an offender, Krishna has not shown even the slightest favor towards me. Let me be damned. Let my offensive, nasty, selfish, critical attitude, this is what is damning me. Let it be gone. That humility, the melting of the heart in that humility and calling out to Krishna still with a deeper heart, what hope I have? Unless you give me mercy, what other hope do I have? And by constantly thinking in this way, Vishwanath continues, those who have not yet developed mature love for me will become free from lust, from anger, and they will awaken pure devotion, full of power and brilliance. This lamentation, like Ajamil lamented, is purifying, provided we turn fully to Krishna, hoping for his mercy, requiring his mercy, knowing that we have no power on our own to achieve what we so desire. because of the impurities in the heart. So the first level of the testing was for those to push them off the middle, so that they surrendered to Krishna. And for those who are already surrendered, to purify them still further, to remove the last vestiges of lust, anger, greed, and offenses, and to make sure we don't cultivate these insidious, materialistic, selfish habits, even though a tendency may be there. But yet there are still higher levels that Vishwanath explains. This is for those, the last level was for those who were surrendered but were immature in their love, but still those who are on the level of prema bhakti will still be tested. For what purpose? They're on the level of prema. What more testing do they need? Prema pamarto mahan. They're already achieved the purpose of existence. Vishwanath explained. For those who already have mature love, Krishna prema, for me, the reason why I don't appear is different. My testing is different. For them, I don't respond in order to increase their attachment for me. When the rope is put down, we have to hold tight. We have to hold tight. That tightness is attachment to Krishna. We have nothing else other than Krishna. Tighter and tighter and tighter. So these already deeply tested devotees are tested to make the depth of their attachment to Krishna, to increase that depth. In this regard, he continues, an analogy to those who already have prema is given by the words beginning yata. When a poor man gains wealth and then loses it, he becomes filled with thoughts of that wealth, and no other thought enters his mind. To have $1,000,000,000 and then lose it, to have a room full of sparkling emeralds and diamonds and then have it lost. What torture! All one can think about is how to get that, how to get it back. I want that, I don't want anything else. An incredible fever enters the consciousness. Krishna wants the devotees on the level of prema. He increases the heat to increase the fever of their desire to have him. Tatra loyam api mulam ekalam, because that greediness is the price to be in Goloka Vrindavan. So such a person becomes filled with thoughts of that wealth, and they cannot think of anything else, such as eating, such as drinking. Those who have attained prema and then lose the Lord react similarly to this. Krishna says, in this way, I am actually merciful. It is desirable for my worshippers to have this complete attachment to me. This is called rag. Thus, to increase that attachment more and more, I, even though externally, superficially, seeming to fail to be reciprocating with them, invisibly am reciprocating more and more and more with them. And then the gopis who Krishna is speaking to, who's giving the reasons why he, while they were calling to him and calling to him, and he stayed aloof from them, until they went mad, rushing through the forest. Krishna, Krishna, their non-sankirtan was the most intense level. When Krishna says, the reason why I don't appear is so that the prema, my bhaktas, my devotees, increase their attachment to me, they're completely insulted. Oh, you're treating us like ordinary prema bhaktas? We who have given everything to you, who have developed the highest stages of attachment to you, that we cannot, but for we cannot even for half a moment push you out of our consciousness, and you're telling you're leaving us just to increase our attachment, saying that you're doing us a great favor by causing this type of misery. And then Krishna says the highest level of why he doesn't appear to reciprocate what they're calling for him. And Krishna, to them, he apologizes now and says this verse. And he says, Vishwanath is revealing the heart of Krishna. With such pitiful exclamations of repentance, Krishna states that indeed he has done the Braja Gopis a great injustice by disappearing from them. Krishna says, devotees such as you have never existed either in the past, the present, or can they exist like you in the future? There are no devotees like you whose attraction for me, it is so great that it never decreases even by one atom, no matter what happens. Good, bad, everything is external to the depth of your love for me. Please, therefore, forgive my injustice to you, which I did. And now he says why he did it, why he tested these Braja Gopikas in this way. I did this to show the other premi bhaktas, the great glory of your love in separation. I did this to show what you are, to glorify you to others. But I did not consider what this was doing to you. The ecstasy of this pain of separation that was churned in your heart, I was not considering what you were going through. And for this, please forgive me. The Supreme Lord is thus conquered by his devotees. This is Braja. Atma Parjanta Vadanyata Bhakta Vatsalya. He gives himself to his devotees to such a degree that he's completely conquered, completely subservient. And later, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, for this and one other reason, I'll tell you both reasons. He said, when Krishna has examined the gopis and glorified them in this way, he got a glimpse of their love, and he wanted to taste that love from the position of the lover, not the beloved. And therefore the desire came into his heart to come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at this point. Not Paryeham. Forgive me for what I've done. You have conquered me. You have conquered me. And he wanted to taste that. How is it possible? What are they tasting? What are they seeing in me? What are they experiencing that has overwhelmed them to such a degree? This I cannot fathom. I cannot understand it. I want to taste that. So the determination came in his mind at that point, I must taste that. And he decided to come himself as Mahaprabhu to taste Radha Bhav Suvalalitam. and serving that is what we're. What can one say? It is not a cheap thing that one has to become very pure and love Krishna in a most wonderful way, so completely. But still, there's another time that Vishwanath says it also convinced him that he has to do this. When he sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to deliver the message, his messages to the gopis, to the residents of Vrindavan, and also to let him see, because Uddhava was thinking, oh yes, amongst the Yadavas, I am Uddhav, I am the topmost of devotees. But now you go to Vrindavan, Krishna said, and I want you to see something that you've never seen before. I need someone to talk to about this. I want you to know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, it's incomprehensible to anyone, the degree of this love. So after Uddhava experienced this, and he stayed in Vrindavan for months and months and months just to speak about Krishna, to keep the residents of Vrindavan alive, practically speaking, because in Krishna Katha they were experiencing Krishna. So when he finally left and placed his desire, he left his desires in Vrindavan to somehow get the dust of the feet of the Braja gopis to become a plant in Vrindavan, so that the gopis would step upon him. Then he left after being in Braja for some months, and then he went to Krishna. And well, what did Krishna say? Well, how was your visit to Vrindavan? How were the residents of Vrindavan? How are they taking my separation? And then Uddhava told Krishna. And when he heard about the madness, the ecstatic madness of the residents of Vrindavan, how all of Braja had withered, and they were kept alive. Krishna was afraid to tell them. He had told them, I'm coming. But he didn't mean it, that I'm coming pasun. Kal pasun, the next day, tomorrow. But he knew that if he told them that it wasn't true, that they would die. So when he heard from Uddhava again about the love of the residents of Vrindavan, of the love of the gopis, he said, this Sarvagya Lord who knows everything, who experiences everything, who is none different from anything, the Param Satyam, the absolute truth, he wants to taste this inconceivable love, pure spiritual love of the residents of Vrindavan, of especially Srimati Radharani. That mood, he wants to taste that. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritya Ladini Shakti Asmad. It is all Krishna's internal energy, and he wants to taste it. So to glorify the love of the gopis still further is the other reason he tests them, to show the world, to show everyone what it is, the ultimate possibility of intimacy with God, what love of God raised to the highest platform is. He wants to show what it is. So, there are many tests, and for each aspiring devotee, or perfected devotee, or even up to the level of the gopis, or even up to the level of Srimati Radharani, there are tests for their differing reasons. And we can understand why these tests are there. Even from that simple Olympic story about going for gold, that the level of perfection is so pure. It is not, because pure means the absence of impurities, but it's beyond pure. One has to love with a completeness in a particular mood that is so rare. So one can get hopeless. But I would like to read just one very short prayer by Srila Rupa Goswami, who teaches us what to do with that hopelessness. Hopelessness is wonderful. Pride is our enemy, not hopelessness. As long as we know what to do with it. And here Srila Rupa Goswami teaches us. I am very weak. I am very lazy to do even the smallest devotional service. So when I hear of the peerless, unequaled, and difficult to perform services performed by the great devotees in ancient times, or even in modern times, my heart burns with despair. O Lord, O killer of Agasura, when I hear that your waves of mercy splash everyone from the demigod Brahma down to the most insignificant creature, then, and only then, does my heart become sprinkled with a cooling drop of hope. It is mercy that we need. And we have to learn the science of getting mercy. Just to continue, bring this pastime that we're reading to its... There's a science to get causeless mercy. Sounds contradictory. Because there is no cause to causeless mercy. So what can we do to attract it? We cannot force it. But what can we do to attract? That is something to meditate upon and study the books. So we left off talking about the test and how amazed Srila Sanatana Goswami and Srila Thakur Haridas were after Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatana Goswami and understood that everything was just his pastime, his test, his examination. And then Mahaprabhu, after embracing Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami, he returned to his residence. Then, both Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami, in great ecstasy, began to describe the Lord's transcendental attributes. They were completely absorbed, fully absorbed, in speaking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, Sanatana Goswami stayed under the care of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was, this is the goal from the beginning to the end of bhakti in the line of Mahaprabhu. We surrender, and that's the beginning, up to the stage of Braja Bhakti. We always stay under the care, protected under the care up to the highest level. So they just discussed and discussed. Mahaprabhu did this and Mahaprabhu did that. Indeed, I remember once having this thought about Prabhupada in Japan. We were in Kyoto, and he had just performed an incredible pastime, which I won't describe here in detail, but he had just, in the middle of a Mayavadi sannyasi's speech, he started kirtan. Because, and he told why later, he said, first he was speaking all right. There was nothing, no enmity. First he was speaking all right. But then he started to describe Panchupasana, the five different gradations of demigod worship. And then he said, and then the highest is formless Brahman. And then Prabhupada said, and I could not tolerate that. It was fully heartfelt. It was not dogmatic or fanaticism at all. So just by staying with Prabhupada, just by watching what he how he acted, you could have written a book about a day. True? Because everything was subtle and very and graceful, and everything had deep meaning. About a day, and my realization has shrunk since then, but in Prabhupada's presence, I understood that. Every day was unlimited and unfathomable. So Sanatan and Haridas just talked and talked and talked and examined and discussed it from this point of view, and Mahaprabhu did this and he did that and he did that. Because they had love. After they saw the Dola Yatra festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami fully about what to do in Vrindavan. How nice. He said, I want to do this through you. I want to do this through you. You are the Tomare Dwara. You are the gate by which I shall do my activities through. How wonderful, yes? No. Because after instructing him, he bade him farewell. Now, go. The scene of separation that took place when Sanatana Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took leave of one another is so piteous that it cannot be described here. Heartbreaking. We turn our back on Krishna, and there is no, we don't care. This is unfortunate for us. So therefore, bhakti is Krishna Bhule Seji, reversing that. And it's simple, just turning to Krishna. But really turning to him, not half turning to him, because then we get half a result. And then when our universe gets shaken, as it does every day, the illusory universe of me being in the center of existence, ahankara vamudatma, bewildered. Because this is what ahankara means, false ego means. It means the illusion of me being in the center. And we see what love means, especially Braja Bhakti. It means Krishna, and Krishna only is the center. Only that purity. There is not one grain of sand in their sweet rice of their love, not one. So we have to turn, and let us turn, even if we can't immediately turn, but let us turn We should know what our goal is. And let us turn. And then Sanatana Goswami decided to go to Vrindavan before he wanted to leave. And Mahaprabhu wouldn't let him leave. But now it was time for him to go. And he decided to go to Vrindavan by the very forest path Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had traveled through Dwarikanda that he had traversed. And Sanatana Goswami noted, he went to Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who had accompanied Mahaprabhu, and he took note of where everything that Mahaprabhu had seen and done, because he wanted to visit each and every place. Why? Because those places would enrich him with memories of Mahaprabhu. And in that remembering Mahaprabhu, in that Vipralamba Seva, Mahaprabhu would be there. So he noted from Balabhadra Bhattacharya all the villages, rivers, and hills where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had performed his pastimes. Sanatana Goswami met all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then, so he had his last dealings with them. And then traveling by that same path, he visited the places through which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had passed. And Prabhupada, in his purport, he quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "May I visit all the holy places associated with the leelas of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees." A devotee should make a point of visiting all the places where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes. Indeed, pure devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even want to see the places he simply visited for only hours or even minutes, because there they contact him so directly. And as soon as Sanatana Goswami visited a place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had performed his pastimes, on the way, he was immediately filled with ecstatic love. So we all ended in the same place. In this way, Sanatana Goswami reached Vrindavan, and later Rupa Goswami came and met him. And in Vrindavan, Sanatana Goswami did wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things. There are quite a few known pastimes of Sanatana Goswami. I'll just briefly mention one, that his bhajan kutir on the top of Dvadasa Aditya Tila, the bhajan kutir of Sanatana Goswami, where Madan Mohan temple is. Sanatana Goswami picked that place because he was told, Mahaprabhu sent him the message, Abhi aega, I'm just coming now. You please find me a nice place to live. And that place he chose for Mahaprabhu, a wonderful place, so he would have a beautiful view of the Yamuna and so much of the of Vrindavan, of the Sevakunj area. And then one day Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami, I won't be able to find it very easily to give it a good rendition. But one day he was by the Yamuna, and he saw some boys playing. And one very beautiful boy came to him and said, and he was just there chanting, doing his bhajan with great love and separation. And one beautiful boy came and said, Baba, I want to come with you. I want to stay with you. And Sanatana Goswami said, oh, very nice. I want to stay with you. But I'm a mendicant. I'm a mendicant. I don't... What will you eat if you stay with me? Oh, Baba, what do you eat? I just beg some chapatis every day. then I'll eat that, Baba. I want to stay with you. And he said, so then he said, you'll see, I'll stay with you. And then that night, Sanatana Goswami had a dream that the boy said it again, I want to stay with you. Whatever you eat, I'll eat. And then the next day, he looked in his kutir, and there was the deity of Madan Mohan. And there are stories connected to that. One day the deity complained that you're actually only giving me chapatis, at least some salt. And he said, what can I do? And he was feeling bad that his service... He wasn't feeling, listen, this is what I get and this is what you get. I told you this first. No, his heart was soft with devotion. No, I wish I could take care of you, this effulgent deity. And actually, Rupa Goswami sent a letter to Mahaprabhu in Puri saying, look what's happened, Madan Mohan has appeared. So he was just thinking, oh, I wish I could serve better. I wish I could offer him nice food. And then the arrangement with that Krishnadas Kapoor with the boat stuck in the Yamuna came about. And he said, please, everyone, the merchant, his boat was stuck in the Yamuna, and everyone said, oh, go to Sanatan Goswami, he's a great sadhu, he can help you. So he went to Sanatan Goswami, and he said, please, my boat is stuck in the Yamuna, please give me your blessings. And Sanatan Goswami said, what can I do? I'm just a poor sadhu, how can I help you? But you go to Madan Mohan, and you tell him everything. So he went to Madan Mohan, and he told him his problem. And he promised Madan Mohan, if you can help me, whatever I get from this, I'll give to you. So that very day, there was a big rainstorm, and the Yamuna increased in its size, and the boat got freed, and thus he took initiation from Sanatan Goswami, and he built the Madan Mohan temple. There's one other little thing about Sanatan Goswami, how he captured everyone's heart. He captured everyone's heart. This is also from the Bhakti Ratnakara. I'll just tell it in a simple way. Sanatana Goswami, he had a habit, because Mahaprabhu told him to write about how to live as a renunciant in Vrindavan. And live that way, show how to live in a completely renounced way. So he would never stay more than one night in any place. So he would walk to a village, and then the residents of that village would see Sanatana Goswami coming. Bara Baba, he is the big Baba, because he was senior and he was loved by everyone. So they would say, oh, Bara Baba is coming. So he walked to the village, and the whole village would come out to greet him. Oh, you're here. Oh, we haven't seen you for so many months. Where have you been? How have you been? And they would bring him to the center of town. And please, let us feed you. And they would bring him buttermilk and some thick brijbasi rotis. And even today, in certain of the villages in Braja, I've even seen this in Barsana, the people have so much love and culture for devotees. They're not yet spoiled by, you know, oh, as soon as they see you, they ask you for begging money from you. They're just so happy to see someone who has even a trace of devotion for Krishna, perhaps. But they're so happy to see this, and they're so warm, and they invite you into their houses. So the whole village came around Sanatana Goswami, and he would say, and how are you, and how are your crops this year, how are your cows doing, how's your mother? He would just, in a very open-hearted way, just deal with everyone, and he would speak with them in the village center all night. And then the next morning, oh, now I have to leave, it's the morning. Oh, Baba, don't leave. How could you do this? But I have to. It is my vow. And they knew it was his vow. So he would start to leave, and they couldn't let him go. And the whole village would walk to him walk with him to the edge of the town, and they would, their hearts would be cracking and breaking. Oh, please come soon. And then he would walk a little further in the residence of the next village. Oh, Barababa is coming. Look, he's coming. And they would all come out, and they would come with him. And how are you? Please, how is this? How is that? And this is how Sanatana would go. He had captured everyone's heart, because a devotee's heart is filled with Krishna. And therefore it's filled with braja. And therefore it must capture everyone, because this is what everyone's looking for and longing for. And this clearly was Prabhupada's secret. This was his secret. The sweetness that he carried with him was braja. It was Radha and Krishna and braja. And when you touched him, or rather in the presence of him, you tasted that sweetness, and you knew you wanted that. One time, when I was with Prabhupada, also in Japan, my mind was giving me so much trouble. So I said, Prabhupada, sometimes I'm sitting with you and I feel like I'm, you know, not in this world. And other times, it's not like that at all. Why? And he just said, the intoxication of Maya is very strong. So Maya is very powerful. So we should keep out of Maya, because it doesn't make us happy. So to end this class and this seminar. Oh, Adi Prusapu, please take this. And we shall hear Prabhupada's words about service and separation, and how to develop loving service and separation in the mood of the Goswamis. This is when we really need technology for this. Raise your hand if you don't have one. A seat. Please listen very carefully. One person has... Here, Lali, would you like a seat so you can follow along? I think you'll look on with your mother. Okay, ready? Please listen carefully. Who needs one? Does anyone still need one? Ready?
Namo Mahavadanaya, Krishna Prema Pradaya. He studied by Rupa Goswami as the most munificent avatar incarnation. There are many incarnations, but the most magnificent, Madana, the supreme charitable. Why? Krishna Prema Pradaya. He is distributing love of Krishna like anything. Krishna Prema Pradaya. One cannot understand Krishna. Manushanam sarasesu kocchit jata dhisiddhaya jata tama dhisiddhyanam kocchit metri mantra. To understand Krishna is very, very difficult. Out of many, many millions, a person, one, tries for making his life successful, and out of many, many successful, jatatamapi siddhyanam, one who has attained siddhi, such person, one may understand Krishna. Krishna, to understand, so first of all, we cannot understand Krishna. Then where is the question of love of Krishna? If you do not understand somebody, how you can love him? Love is far, far away. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind that he is distributing Krishna prem. Take anyone. Come on. Krishna prema pradaya. So, Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very practical, that I want to give Krishna prema, one should be ecstatic, emotional in Krishna prema. One shall cry for Krishna, and he taught everyone by his practical example how he was mad after Krishna. Govinda virahinam sunnayatam jagat sarvam. Govinda virahinam. This is Krishna prema. Without Krishna, one should see everything vacant. This is Radharani's prema. And that is not possible for ordinary human being. It might be possible for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and few devotees, just like his immediate disciples, the six Goswamis, they were also following the same principle. In Vrindavan, the six Goswamis used to live, but they were seeking Krishna, becoming mad. He Radhi Brajadevi ke chalalite he nanda sunakutaha. Si govardhana padavatale kalindivane kutaha. Gosantaviti sarvato vijapuri khedai mahabhival. Bande rupa sanatana ulagujugau sri jiva gopal. So they were mad after Krishna. Where is Krishna? They never say, we have seen Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he said, I was dreaming of Krishna, and why you awake me? I have lost the chance. In this way, they are making bhajan. This is called viraha bhajan. Viraha bhajan. Separation. That is very recommended process. So we should be awaken our consciousness, Krishna consciousness, in such a way that being separated from Krishna, we shall become mad after him. This is called Krishna prema. That prema was being distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is still distributing.
Did you hear that? He is still so distributing that.
How this prema can be awakened easily? That has been recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, quoting from Lord Brahma's prayer to Krishna. Jnane priyasam mudapasa namantayim. Don't try to understand Krishna by your teeny knowledge. We are imperfect. How we can speculate on Krishna? That is not, because there are certain persons, jnani, they want to know, just like theosophists, they want to know the absolute truth by speculation. But that is not possible. Athapite deva padambujadvayam prasadalesanu grihito eva hi janati tattam na channa ekopi chiram vichinnam. For many, many years, if you speculate, you cannot understand Krishna. You have to receive the mercy of Krishna through the spiritual mercy. Then it is possible. That is recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sthane sthita suti gatam tanuvanga manobhi ji prayasa ajito. Krishna's another name is ajito. You cannot conquer him. When Krishna was present, he had to fight with so many demons, but nobody could conquer him. That is the history. He conquered everyone, but nobody could conquer him. He is conquered by his devotee only, that's all. That's what his name is, Ajita. Ajita, if you want to conquer over Ajita, then it's simply Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that don't speculate. Sthane sthita jnane priyasam udapasa namanta eva be samnisi. Krishna, I am very poor. Krishna, I have no means to understand you. So, if you kindly be merciful upon me, then I can understand something about you. Surrender. That is what.
There is nothing left for me to say. Hare Krishna, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Sanatana Goswami Pada ki jai. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. That we can say. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. That was better. Let's see if we can do it another time. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Bolo Giriraj Dharan ki jai. Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Sri Radhe. I'm sorry, that was not good enough for my limited perspective. Now, just look over there. There's Giriraj, and think if you would like some mercy. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Hey!